It's a blessing to be with you this morning. It's always a blessing to be with fellow Christians in worship unto God. But I have been blessed by the prayers. They have been specific prayers and not glittering generalities before the throne of God. It takes faith to pray specific prayers. And Brother Craig is everything that Gene Poffido said he was going to be. One thing I like is he is a song leader, not a song starter. There are lots of brethren who can start songs. Sometimes they don't know how to finish them, but they know how to start them. But Craig is a song leader. And I appreciate the fact that though he did not do so this morning, because he did not know what I was going to preach on, picking songs that go with the sermon. I've tried to do that for many, many years. I led my first song when I was 10 years old as a song starter who didn't get it right. But I've led singing many times over the years, and I appreciate opportunities, and I try to do that too, Brother Craig, is tie the service together. I think it helps us to worship. But it's a blessing to be with you and meet so many friendly and fine people. Y'all may already be mad at me, I don't know, because I am associated with Faulkner University, and we did hire the Sutton Sun, and they are going over to Montgomery. And I know that's a loss for this congregation. Wouldn't it be nice if somehow we could just sort of say Shazam or whatever it is they say these days, and all of a sudden we could have some over there and y'all could have them here too? But God didn't bless us with that ability. What He did bless us with is if we will be faithful unto death, we'll see the crown of life and we shall see them again. Amen. Thank you for the amens. It's always difficult to know what to preach on when you're visiting as a preacher. But choices have to be made, and I've made one this morning. And I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 16. While you're turning, let me add one more thing. I love to preach. I preached full-time for many years before I started practicing law. I preached and taught during those years, and I'm still preaching. And I plan to continue preaching as long as the Lord gives me life and breath. And for that reason, and having this opportunity, Millie and I returned from vacation. And my second love, which is dinner on the ground after I've preached, we're going to have to apologize for having to miss, because we have people waiting for us. And I regret that. I'd like to show you how I can eat as well as how I can preach. I didn't know what to call this sermon this morning when I first prepared it. I thought of several titles that I might put on it, but I finally decided that I would call it The Gospel of the Second Chance. Amen. And I hope when we come to the end of this lesson, you'll understand why I chose that title. Begin reading with me, if you will, please, in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they had laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." There are two words in that seventh verse that are very challenging words, and I think we'll discover very beautiful words. They are the words "go" and "tell." They are words that were spoken from an angel as the first announcement of the resurrection was made. And it was an instruction and direction to go and tell of the resurrection, and how important that is. Because we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the opening verses, where Paul talked about the gospel, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the great facts that stands at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, the virgin birth, and the crucifixion would have meant nothing. But because of the resurrection means those two things mean everything. And so it is that the heart of the gospel becomes the work of the church. Go into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark is about to write from the words of Jesus, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." It stands at the very heart of the proclamation of the gospel. And without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no hope in the world, and you and I have no hope this morning. The Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 that we have been begotten again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The necessity of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ is inherent in the resurrection. And I'm going to suggest to us this morning that the meaning of the angel's language, "He is risen," never really gets into our hearts until it gets into our feet. Good news simply cannot walk. Good news always runs. When you've got good news to tell somebody, don't you hasten to do it? And when we've got the good news of Jesus Christ, it must get into our feet. And let me suggest to you that one of the greatest pictures of the resurrection on this day here is not the empty tomb, as great as that picture is. Another beautiful picture is of two men running. Peter and John running to the tomb. Can't you see their faces this morning? I guarantee you, their faces weren't droopy. I guarantee you, their faces weren't frowning. If I wanted to know a little bit about how their faces look today and knowing I can't really see them, you know what I'd do? I'd wait until Christmas and watch the little children coming downstairs to see what Santa Claus brought them. Oh, what anticipation they would have. But I think in their faces also can be seen the pressure of two words, go and tell. Brothers and sisters, that's the claim that every person in this world has upon us as children of God. Amen. To go and to tell the gospel of Jesus Christ, beginning in Stafford and Fort Bend County and under the uttermost parts of the earth. The Lord has placed upon us the responsibility of proclaiming the resurrection and the salvation that comes from that resurrection. There are two other words here that are just absolutely wonderful words. The angel said, go, tell the disciples and Peter. Why do you reckon the Lord had his angel add those two words? Wasn't Peter a disciple? Sure he was. So why did the Lord say, go tell the disciples and Peter? Well, those who know the history of Peter know that Peter was pretty good at speaking maybe when he shouldn't. Sometimes we don't give him credit for some of the things he said when he should. But let's think for a minute about Peter and what had gone on just a little bit. It had not been long before, in fact, you just turn back a couple of pages in your Bible to Mark 14, that Peter had asserted his loyalty to the Lord. Jesus was meeting with his disciples, and he told them, all of you will betray me, or all of you will go away. And Peter said, Lord, all of these others may forsake you, but I will never forsake you. Peter stood up and he asserted his loyalty in no uncertain terms. Lord, this is the way it's going to be, and absolutely nothing can or will change it. Jesus looked at him, and I'm sure with sadness, and said, Peter, let me tell you that tonight, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. I'm sure Peter didn't say, Lord, you're wrong. But knowing Peter, I'm just almost positive he thought it. It is not going to happen. But you and I know enough Bible to know what happened next. Because not long after Peter had asserted his loyalty, Peter abandoned his Lord. He walked afar off. He warmed his hands by the wrong fire. And three times, the last time swearing, I don't know the man. Swearing there, by the way, is not what we call cussing today. It's an oath. And so Peter took an oath. I do not know the man. I have nothing to do with the man. And you recall when Jesus came out, having been convicted and on the way to Calvary, he looked at Peter, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. But the time came when it was all over. And it was time for this man, Peter, to take a new position. He had been a spokesman. He had been a lead person. And it's time, if ever, for him to step to the forefront and become a leader. But you know what he did? He abandoned his leadership. He asserted his loyalty, he abandoned his Lord, and now he has abdicated his leadership. Because when it was all over, Peter sort of looked at and surveyed the situation, and he turned to all the rest of them. He said, "Boys, I'm going fishing." And so back to his boats and his nets went the Apostle Peter. What was Peter's problem? Peter's problem was that he brought dishonor upon his profession and upon his confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Peter is so fortunate that Jesus was Jesus. And not somebody like, I started to say you or me, but let me just say me. Because I hope all of you are better than that. Peter, you know what you did to me, boy? I'm never going to have anything to do with you again. You have denied me. You've turned your back on me. You've not been a leader as you should have been and as you could have been. And I want you to know, Peter, it is all over, and from this moment on, I will have nothing to do with you. So the question comes, where was Peter? Peter was where so many of us have been before. Peter was in a place where he needed a new beginning. Amen. These angels were speaking, and it was as if all of the angels of heaven had looked down upon the Apostle Peter, and they had seen him in his sin, and they had seen him turn away from their Savior, Jesus Christ. They had seen him fall. Go tell the disciples and Peter. It was as if all of the angels of heaven wanted to help him get up again. And so they told these messengers they were sending to go and tell Peter, you go and tell Peter that he is not left out. You go and tell Peter that one failure does not make an eternal and unforgivable flop. You know, life doesn't give many of us a second chance, does it? If you don't believe that, you go find the little boy that didn't make the baseball team. And you ask him about a second chance. If you don't believe that, you go and find the person who got the pink slip. And ask that person about a second chance. If you don't believe that, you go and find the faithful, persevering, loving, child-bearing, child-raising wife whose husband came in one day and said, "By the way, I found me a new young thing." And you ask her about a second chance. You know, for most of us around here, it's now or never, isn't it? What we hear is, around here, we don't tolerate incompetence. What we hear around here is, you know, you got to get tough to get along. Or when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Or three strikes and you're out. But we hear this is a dog-eat-dog world and you better get to eating some dogs. But we're not dealing with human beings, we're dealing with the gospel. We're dealing with the Lord of glory. We're dealing with Jesus Christ. And Christ provided what Peter needed. We need to understand that Christ has a simple solution for living in a dog-eat-dog world, and that is just don't live with the dogs. Amen. When you run with them, you're going to get bit. Did it ever occur to you to ask why you should let a bunch of failures tell you what a failure you are? Doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? But you see, that's not the message that Jesus is sending to you. The message of Jesus is that you can have a second chance. And if you want to ask somebody about it, don't ask those we mentioned earlier. Go and ask Peter. 1 minute the Apostle Peter was so low because he knew what he had done and he was sorry for what he had done, and he was so low that you could not have scraped him up from the cement with a razor blade. But then the message came. Peter, the Lord has risen, and he wants to see you. The angels of heaven wanted this distraught fisherman to know that it wasn't over. They wanted him to know, Peter, you get to step up to the plate again. You get to bat again. You get to try again. There are many scholars of the Bible who tell us that the gospel, according to Mark, might also be called the gospel according to Peter, because they believe that much of what Mark wrote he obtained from the Apostle Peter. Now, the scripture does not confirm that, but I think that there are good reasons textually to believe it. And if it is true, and if those two words, and Peter were put into this account by Peter himself. I know that when it came time for him to repeat it, that he had to clear a lump in his throat and brush a tear away from his eye. Peter knew that it's not every day that you get a second chance. And Peter was so excited that the next time he saw Jesus Christ, he jumped out of the boat to go to him. Gratitude for the second chance was enough to cause this Galilean to go into all of the world and carry the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. And while the story is not biblical, it is believed based on other sources. That the Apostle Peter, in spreading that gospel, one day made his way to Rome. And that there he gave his life for his Savior. He was crucified. And when it came time for him to go to his cross, it is said that Peter requested, saying, "I'm not worthy to be crucified as was my Lord. Crucify me head down." And if you have ever wondered what it could possibly be that would lead a person to be crucified upside down, maybe now you know. It's not every day that somebody will give you a second chance, much less give you a second chance every day. In Jesus Christ, Peter found both. And so can you. And I want to tell you this morning that the message for you is Jesus Christ has risen, and he wants you. And if you are here this morning and you have never obeyed the call of the one who wants you and who died for you to be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins and to be raised to walk in newness of life, he wants you. He doesn't want you tomorrow. He doesn't want you next week. He doesn't want you next year. He wants you now. Craig's going to lead us in this song of invitation and encouragement. And if you're subject to his precious call, he wants you. He died for you. He stands ready to receive you and save you. But you've got to get up from your seat and walk down this aisle and give me your hand, give God your heart. Obey his will. Be saved. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?